Holly Smith just made history. The pediatric nurse and mother of two in Memphis, Tennessee, has become the first American to get a swine flu vaccine. Liza in Westchester is another story. She is a nurse here in New York and does not want to be forced to take the vaccine. Liza in Westchester called this program last week.
I'm a nurse, yes, at a Westchester hospital, and I want to make it widespread and clear that we are being mandated by the Commissioner of Health to take not only the seasonal flu vaccine, which will be a yearly mandate, but in addition, the H1N1, which is an inhaled live virus. If we do not take these, we will be terminated. Not only will we be terminated, but there is rumor that we will be censured by the Board of Education, risking possible reckless patient treatment. And we are at risk to lose our license.
Do you object to being mandated to get a swine flu shot?
Absolutely. I think it's a violation of my First Amendment rights. I've never taken the flu vaccine. I've had the flu once, and I came through it brilliantly. I think your body builds natural immunities once you have been exposed and lifelong immunities. Last year's flu vaccine was 90% ineffective against the flu that was, circulating among the population last year.
So that was Liza in Westchester calling into this program last week, and we promised to take a closer look, and we're going to start with it today on the occasion of the rollout of the actual vaccine for healthcare workers first. There are at least two stories emerging around the swine flu vaccine now, the rush to get it and the rebellion against being forced to take it, as you just heard. So we will talk about some of each now with Thomas Lowe, RN. He is Health and Safety Representative for the New York State Nurses Association, and Donald G. McNeil, Jr., New York Times reporter, who's been covering various aspects of swine flu and the vaccine. Thomas and Donald, welcome to WNYC today. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having us. Thank you for inviting us.
Thomas, what's the issue here? Did Liza have the rules right?
Yes, she's got the rules correct. The Commissioner of Health has mandated both the seasonal and the H1N1 vaccine for healthcare professionals in Article 28, Article 30, and Article 41 facilities.
New York is unique in this regard?
New York is the only state that has mandated the flu vaccine for healthcare professionals.
And why is this not okay with you?
Well, first of all, let's make it real clear that healthcare professionals are not against the flu vaccine and protecting the public health, which is...
I mean, she almost, I realize she's just one caller, but right. She almost made it sound that way because she was arguing that your body builds up natural immunities once you get the flu. So she almost seemed to be arguing against the vaccine. That's not the position of your union, correct?
That's correct. The New York State Nurses Association, along with many other unions, strongly encourage our members to get the vaccine if they're willing and able to get the vaccine and there's no contraindications. The CDC has pointed out that the vaccine is one of the effective ways to reduce or control the spread of the influenza virus, but it's not the only way. And to focus solely on the vaccine as the method to prevent the spread of the virus is wrong. It's misleading public health.
So, Don McNeil, you're here as a reporter, partly because you're covering the story well, but also partly because state officials refuse to come on and talk openly about this. So what's their side of the story?
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know they'd refused. their argument is essentially, in contrast to what your caller said, it's not about your body or your immunity. It's about the safety of your patients. And the best way I've heard this expressed is that if a surgeon said, look, I have a philosophical objection to washing my hands. I don't like doing that. I don't like putting on the gloves. Washing my hands, it makes my skin crack. I'm just not going to do it. Take my word for it that I'm not going to get infected by the patient. And take the word for it that I'm clean and I won't pass on an infection to the patient. If a surgeon said that, he'd be dumped out of being a surgeon by everybody else in the profession. And this is what the argument is, not just from the state, but from the CDC and a lot of top health officials, that the evidence has mounted over the last 20 years that nurses, doctors, health aides, dietary aides, anybody who comes into a patient's room, especially if the patient is severely immunocompromised, can be a danger to that patient, anywhere from a you know, inconvenience of getting a cold to possibly a fatal infection if they're severely immunocompromised. And so they're arguing.
So why is New York, however, the only state that's mandating this rather than strongly recommending it for health workers?
I think they're simply being more aggressive. I mean, there are some hospital chains in other parts of the country that do this. I think the state is nervous about the unions. I know that the CDC and the federal government decided not to do this year, and their explanation to me was that it was just too confusing a year, that the amount of confusion that was going to come about because of people needing to get both swine flu shots and seasonal flu shots would complicate matters so much that they didn't want to pick that battle.
Any other healthcare workers listening besides Liza? Liza, if you're out there again today, good morning. Anyone else you want to call us up? Or patients, how do you feel about this debate in New York City around this rollout of the swine flu vaccine? I say in New York City, it's statewide. It's the state health department mandating this, and it's the only place in the country. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or if you want to ask Donald McNeil questions about obtaining a swine flu vaccine, healthcare worker or not, that is an emerging issue as it's rolling out with not quite enough to go around. So there are people rebelling against getting it. There are people upset that they can't get it. And this is what happens around this kind of situation. 212-433-WNYC. We'll try to clarify it from each side as well as we can. Oh, look at that. Our lines are already full. 212-433-9692. After we get through some of these callers, obviously a lot of hunger to talk about this. And you can post your comments or questions to our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Thomas Lowe from the New York State Nurses Association on the science. Health officials say, scientifically speaking, this is not a new vaccine in that it's the same base as any other year's flu vaccine. Just the strain being inserted is swine instead of this year's anticipated seasonal flu. So is it unnecessarily scaring people about the science to say we don't want to take something because it's untested, which is what some of your members are saying?
Well, I think that's an important point, that the misinformation that's out there about both the seasonal flu and the swine flu just add to the mistrust that healthcare workers have for the government officials when they're mandating the vaccine and without providing adequate education. Truth be known, the H1N1 vaccine was developed exactly the same way that the seasonal flu vaccine is developed, and it's purported to be safe in the clinical trials. Having said that, what the healthcare workers are a little concerned about is those of us that are a little bit older have memories of the 1975 swine flu, and education hasn't been done to let folks know that it's not developed the same way, that it's purified better than the 1975 version. So some of those risks that we faced in 1975 are not there. But that education hasn't gotten out there, and the state chooses to mandate rather than educate, and I think that's wrong.
But by taking the opposing point of view, or the union digging in against the mandate, are you not serving to reinforce the disinformation rather than the accurate information?
Actually, what we're doing at the union level, and most of our sister unions are doing the same thing, is we're holding educational sessions. NICOSH, New York Committee on Occupational Safety and Health, has just started a series of flu forums where we're informing our members what the science is behind the vaccine, so that if they have a chance to voluntarily take the vaccine, they would be more inclined to do that. We can get very good vaccination rates with voluntary programs, as was proven with the history of the United States has a lot of history behind voluntary programs that were very successful, the most recent one being the hepatitis B vaccine, which is an OSHA standard, but it requires the employers to offer the vaccine and does not mandate the employee to take it. But they also say that there should be a comprehensive, very effective infection control program with that bloodborne pathogen standard. hepatitis B vaccine being one part of it, and we've achieved vaccination rates at 75% or better. So if we can do it with that, we can certainly do it with the seasonal flu and the H1N1, provided we give good information.
Tony in Belmar, who I think doesn't like your position. Hi, Tony, you're on WNYC. Tony, are you there? We'll get back to Tony. Let's see if Evan in Manhattan can hear me. Evan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. My partner is a student pursuing a master's in midwifery in downstate, and she's getting mandated to take the vaccination, and her concerns go back to the 70s. I guess with that vaccine, there are reports of infertility as being caused, and that, you know, is obviously a big issue for, you know, most women as a kind of fear issue. I don't know if there are any reports on if that's been kind of worked out of this vaccine or...
Donald McNeil, do you know anything about that?
I don't even know. I mean, every vaccine is surrounded by rumors. The polio vaccine, I've been to northern Nigeria where people refuse to take polio vaccine, and they firmly and totally believe rumors that it is a plot by the West to make Muslim girls sterile. Every time a vaccine comes out, rumors arise around it. I've never heard one saying that the swine flu shots of 1976 made anyone sterile. There were confirmed reports of an increase in Guillain-Barré syndrome, but there were rumors also that it was making people drop dead because of an incident that happened in Pittsburgh when three elderly people who got their shots at the same clinic the same day died that night. And it caused an uproar in Pittsburgh. And the truth is, they were three elderly people confined in nursing homes, and they happened to die the same day they got their flu shot. But it wasn't the reason. They were probably going to die anyway.
And Thomas Lowe from the New York State Nurses Association, you haven't heard anything about an infertility risk either, correct?
I have not heard that, no.
Tony in Belmar, I think, is back. Tony?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
First of all, I want to applaud everyone's comments so far. I think they're spot on. But, you know, I think this whole idea of mandating vaccines for healthcare workers, you know, if you ask a patient what their expectation is when they go to see a healthcare provider, they assume that when they go, they're either going to get better or they're going to get some information that may or a therapeutic that prevents them from getting sick. They don't expect to get sick at the hands of a healthcare provider. So with that said, you know, if you were to ask most people, do you assume that your healthcare provider is taking the maximum precautions to prevent you from getting sick when you arrive at the clinic or the hospital, I think most people would say yes. And the truth is, vaccine is the most effective way to prevent influenza. This is not disputed at all. And I think that if we look at it from that perspective of the patient, their expectation is that, you know, when that provider has been vaccinated, and we know healthcare providers, oddly enough, have lower immunization rates for flu than I think most people would ever expect. So, you know, voluntarism, you know, not mandating things in the past has worked for some things, but in the healthcare provider community, oddly enough, the rates aren't as high as we would expect.
Tony, thank you very much. And so that's a challenge to you, Thomas Lowe, saying your members have a responsibility to protect the public health in this way.
Well, no one's disputing the ethical and moral obligation that healthcare professionals have to protect the public health, and we would like to see that the state health departments accept that challenge, take away the mandate and the threat for the loss of our jobs, and put in a total comprehensive infection prevention program. Because your caller is correct, when the flu vaccine is very well matched to the circulating virus, there is an efficacy of 70% to 90%, but In the years when the flu vaccine is not well matched to the circulating virus, the efficacy is only about 30-35% at best, which means 70% of the vaccinated healthcare professionals are still vulnerable to catching and spreading the flu. The second thing that has to be considered is that the flu vaccine, even when you get it, is not 100% protective and does not provide 100% immunity. An individual can still contract the flu virus. It just means that they would get less a severe of a disease and a shorter duration, which then means the healthcare professional, because of the nursing shortage, is probably going to go in and work ill or work with a subclinical infection, still being able to shed the virus and infect the patients. What would be preferable and which would give the patients a much more higher level of comfort is to know that they're going into a hospital that has a total infection prevention program where the folks that are sick are getting the surgical masks to prevent the spread of large droplets, and the healthcare professionals are getting the N95 respirators or better, which will protect them from contracting the influenza virus from the infected patients. We have to remember that the influenza started out in the community. It didn't start in the hospital. So the folks that are coming into the hospital that are already infected, we have to do a very good infection prevention program. So things like increasing the ventilation, the air changes for, 6 to 12 air changes per hour, using the respiratory isolation rooms, cohorting patients who are sick, having work practices and administrative controls that limit the number of healthcare professionals that are exposed to those sick patients, limiting the visitors who are coming in, enforcing hand washing and the other hygiene practices.
Right.
All of that is a total comprehensive infection program.
Total comprehensive infection program. And Donald McNeil, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about the mandatory swine flu vaccine decree from the New York State Health Department for all healthcare workers, the only state in the country to make it mandatory. Thomas Lowe, Health and Safety Representative for the New York State Nurses Association, doesn't like it. Donald G. McNeil, Jr., New York Times reporter, is covering the story. And, Donald, is there a false sense of security, possibly, that could set in these hospitals? Donald, if they vaccinate all the healthcare workers, and that might lead them to be lax in terms of that total comprehensive flu spread prevention program that Tom was outlining?
It would be a pity if they did shots and nothing else and gave up on infection control. Infection control is extremely tough. I mean, you've seen school children in New York City. Now there's Purell in the hallways of the schools. The kids are told to cough into their sleeves. They're told not to come to school sick. But the fact is, kids still come to school sick, and that's why there were outbreaks in the schools. And it's horrendous in the South. Doing infection control in a hospital means many things. It can be very tough. Not using needles. Being more careful with needles is something that hospitals have done an extremely good job with, and yet nurses still get needle sticks from blood for patients who have hepatitis or who have HIV. I mean, I know a nurse this happened to just in the last couple of months, and that's after years of infection control. And infection control for flu is practically impossible. It means not only can't, shouldn't the doctor sneeze on the patient, but the janitor who cleans the room shouldn't sneeze on the edge of the bed when there's no one in the room, but a patient has moved in there half an hour later and the flu virus is still hanging on the rails of the bed. Preventing flu droplets from lying around on surfaces is near impossible, and that's why infection control for something like for an airborne disease is near impossible.
Adam,
we learned that during tuberculosis, too.
Adam and Rosalyn, an ERMD. Adam, thanks for calling in.
How are you, sir? Frankly, I think it's crazy to compel people to take a vaccine. I understand surgeons washing their hands or what have you, but it's just a little over the top. You can't force people to take it. It is stupid if healthcare workers don't want to do it, but people are allowed to do stupid things. You can, go skydiving or scuba diving. You don't tell people not to do those things. I realize that there's a public concern about it as well, but essentially, it's just a little frightening because the media has fueled this so much that everybody comes in, they think that they're going to die from the swine flu. They think they're going to die from, and it's not any worse than the flu we get any other year. It's a type A flu. It's not the avian flu. It's not something that triggers your immune system. Normal, healthy people are going to have 3 days feeling crummy, and that's it.
But Adam,
and
if it's so, if it's
freaked out about it.
Right, but if it's
but
so wide, if it becomes that. So widespread because it's so much more contagious than regular seasonal flu, then
it will be a crummy 3 days in bed for all those basically healthy people. Yes, it could spread to the fringes, to the very old and the very young. I understand it. But let me just close with one thing because I realize you have a lot of people to take. We have learned that the Earth is flat and the sun is the center of the solar system. And without question, in modern medicine today, without question, this is vaccines are the most effective portion of medicine. For the last 100 years have saved more lives than anything else, all the surgeries, all the antibiotics, and yet every single time we talk about vaccines, as the gentleman sitting next to you was saying, there are all these misconceptions, there are all these rumors. It's bizarre. So I have a hard time understanding it.
Adam,
I got the flu vaccine yesterday, and I encouraged all my staff to.
All right. Dr. Adam N. Roslin, a physician in an emergency room, got his swine flu vaccine yesterday. On misconceptions, from our comments page, Thomas Lowe, somebody writes, that nurse who called in claimed the vaccine was a live virus, but Channel 4 News last night did a myth-busting segment in which a doctor said the viruses were not live, or the vaccines were did not contain live virus. Which is correct?
Well, they're actually both correct. It depends on which vaccine you're talking about. Generally, when we talk about a vaccine, we're talking about an injectable medication, and that is a killed virus, so that's not live. You cannot get the flu from the killed virus. However, the flu mist, which is the nasal inhalation version of the vaccine, there is an attenuated virus, which is half killed or weakened, which stimulates your immune system to create its defenses. So depending on which one they're talking about, it's either attenuated, half live, or killed.
And is Donald McNeil, is there any reason to you know, people are more scared of live virus vaccines than dead ones for obvious reasons. Is
yes.
that justified?
If you're severely immunocompromised, I shouldn't even say severely. If you are immunocompromised, yes, you should be nervous about live viruses. But the reason there's so much talk about the live virus, the nasal spray right now, is because of the swine flu vaccines that have become available. The first batches to become available happen to have been the nasal spray ones, and so there's much more talk about it right now than there is the injectable. But the truth is that ultimately, by the time all the vaccine is made, I think that's down in the 20% of all that's being made range, and the 80% of what's being made will be the injectable killed virus. It's not just a killed virus. It's parts of the virus. They chop it up.
So are there at least exceptions from the state health department for healthcare workers with compromised immune systems, or those who want to wait for the killed virus?
Yes, absolutely. Anybody over 50 years old, I mean, it's a conservative position, but anybody over 50 years old is not supposed to take the nasal spray virus. Anybody who's pregnant should not take it. Anybody with asthma should not take it. Anybody with a number of other conditions shouldn't take it. But for most of those, the injectable, the killed virus is safe.
So just to close up here.
There's one brief point that might be worth making, and that's that I think the state took this. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about this issue for years, and part of the problem was, and the reason New York State finally got aggressive, is because voluntary programs didn't work. There have been a number of hospital chains that got their employees up to close to 80%, but when you actually go talk to the people who have investigated how they did it, they did things. It wasn't just voluntary. It wasn't just offering them trips to the Caribbean. It was voluntary, but if you refused, you might get a note in your personnel record, or you might be told you couldn't work with patients anymore, or you'd have to work the entire flu season in a mask. So there were sort of coercive measures that got things up to the 70 to 80% mark. By and large, the hospitals, by truly voluntary measures, don't get above 50%, and 50 to 60%. And you know, health workers are mandated to have a lot of things already. In New York State, they have to have an annual tuberculosis test. They already have to prove they've had injections or had measles, mumps, and a number of other diseases so that they're not a danger to their patients.
Yeah. So let me ask you one final question on the way out the door, and it's a repeat of a question that I asked earlier in the segment. Why is New York State the only health department mandating this for healthcare workers? What about all those others? Is New York going to wind up serving as a model for other health departments around the country? Or are they just uniquely cautious? Or
no, I don't know, because I didn't interview 49 other states as to why they haven't done this yet. But I suspect that if New York State succeeds, other states will follow suit. And individual hospital chains will, too. Individual hospital chains went first.
Thomas Lowe from the Nurses Association, a last word.
Well, I think it's important to point out that when we asked the state why they went to the mandatory program, they said it was because vaccination rates are typically 30 to 40% in healthcare workers, and they have tried educational programs, webcasts, handouts, flyers, posters, et cetera. And when we asked what was it in that approach that failed and what are you going to do about changing that so that a voluntary program would be successful, they had no answer. So they really don't know that a voluntary approach won't work. They just have put a lot of stuff out there that hasn't been assimilated and tried by the hospitals on a uniform basis. There's no study that says this is a concerted action that on a voluntary basis will increase the vaccination rates. As Mr. McNeil said, yeah, there are some anecdotal stories out there when you talk to the individual folks on how they achieved the high vaccination take rates. There's a lot of different techniques out there, none of which have been kind of codified and put together in a best practice. So without exhausting that possibility, going to a mandate is just taking, in my opinion, the easy way out, which is fraught with ramifications that are going to be unintended.
All right. On the issue of New York State being the only state to mandate that healthcare workers get the swine flu vaccine, Thomas Lowe, RN, Health and Safety Representative for the New York State Nurses Association, Donald G. McNeil, Jr., New York Times reporter, covering the story. Thank you both very much.
Thank you for having us.
And maybe the health department will agree to come on and address the issue. And in coming days, we'll also talk about how to get a swine flu vaccine, since so many people obviously want them, and there's a lot of confusion about that. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in just a minute, the state of New York also issues rules to enable natural gas drilling near the New York City reservoirs. Will they give us needed energy without fouling the drinking water? Stay tuned.